The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Lawyers Upon the Hockey Show. We're sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. We've got a fantastic broadcast. Brandon Swartz is our guest of Swartz Carlton. How are you, sir?
Good. Good to see you, Joe.
It's always a pleasure. You know, Brandon, we're sitting in this office right here, and it's beautifully sunny. It's an awesome day. But if it was pouring rain outside right now, something tells me you and I would think it was a sunny day anyway, because yesterday, you know, it's always, and I'm not being cliche, it's always sunny after an Eagles W, especially after beating a really good team like Baltimore. You were at the game. Thoughts?
Yeah, so first of all, it was amazing to see 20,000 people in Baltimore at the game. I actually went with my son-in-law's father, who's a season ticket holder for the Ravens.
Wow.
For many, many years. He said they've never, ever seen this many of the opposing team's fans there during the game. And I said to him at one point during the game, I said, this stadium, it doesn't hold the noise that well. It's not that loud. He's like, it's normally loudest just because there's not that many fans here for
right.
us.
Yeah. Well, it is what's interesting. And you and I kind of alluded to, first of all, Baltimore is a, you know, stone's throw from from Philly. And so it is awesome. Hey, listen, you and I, you see, you watch the LA games, like Philly's at one point during when we were playing the Rams, or was it the Chargers? I forget exactly.
No, the Rams. I think we had 20,000 people in that game.
Yeah. And like, I mean, it's awesome to watch. You know, our fan base travel, and it goes, you know, Phillies, you know, and the whole deal. But one of the really cool things, okay, is, and you and I were talking about Saquon Barkley, and of course, you had mentioned not since Barry Sanders, and I love the running back position. I love it. Okay. I coached it in high school, played it, and I have a lot of, you know, really, you know, I mean, Wilbert Montgomery was my favorite, you know, Wilbert off tackle, right, to the house, right?
Abilene Christian.
Abilene Christian, right? And so, but Wilbert was 185 soaking wet, okay? And so, you know, this guy, the combination of, we got Frank Ciprero in the house. Frank, here's the deal of Upon the Hockey. Brandon and I are talking sports, and I know, you know, we're talking Eagles football and all that. I know you're not much of a football guy, so we got a little issue with the headphones, but we're going to bring Frank in just a minute. Having said that, you mentioned Brandon that you know, not since Barry Sanders and a combination of Sanders and Peyton, okay. Yeah. Your thoughts on Saquon?
Yeah, I don't think there is a guy that's comparable to him. He's maybe a smidge less agile than Sanders, because nobody was Barry Sanders.
Nobody.
And he's maybe a smidge less powerful than Peyton. But there's never been a guy ever that came as close to emulating both of them in one player. It's never happened. He very well could set the record for most total yards this year.
No question. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Well, just so, Brandon, you know, Frank has been here since 8 o'clock this morning, but always likes to make that big entry. You know, just crazy.
Fashionably late.
But your thoughts on Saquon? By the way, I want to correct you on one thing, Brandon. There is one running back in the history of football that was had those skills, but I couldn't. I got injured.
Yes. And what? Nobody ever got to see it.
Well, I got the films in the car. But your thoughts on Saquon?
Speaking of, did you see Saquon's JV highlight reel when he was in high school?
No.
Pull that up on YouTube. Oh, crazy. He played quarterback and was almost a keeper every time.
Was it really?
Yeah, he was. He's amazing. I love him. And I love that the Giants let him go, because it usually, you know, years ago we always made the just horrible mistakes,
right,
with personnel.
But it's funny because, you know, he's had some issues with injuries, but you look at that, and I don't even want to talk about it, to be honest with you. I don't even want to think about it, but You have that offensive line, because he was so economically, like, they were paying linemen. Average linemen way more than him. But the point is, maybe they just realized they just didn't have the line. It's stupid. I mean, like, literally. But either way, it's got to be, you got to be watching this and going, oh, please don't make this.
I saw a stat. I think it was when he was with the Giants, yards before contact was like 1.2, and now it's like 2.5. So that line right there gets him another more than a yard before he makes contact with anybody.
I think on the 70-yard touchdown run last week and the 72, I don't think he was touched on either one.
Ugh. And he hits the hole so fast, and his acceleration is amazing. I think people take wrong angles on him, and it's astounding.
Well, let me say one thing. And I'm not even joking. I'm not joking when I say this. So I coached a lot of high school football, and you've seen, when you watch a good high school player, Alexis Crandall's in the house. How are you, Alexis? We'll be working. You might want to go over to that particular area. We're playing a little musical chairs with that particular. But having said this, he reminds me at the high school level of somebody who's always one tackle away. And he's doing it at the NFL level. Like who?
Yeah.
All the great, great running backs in the NFL. If you're in the NFL, like, you look at this guy, Will Shipley. He's a rookie three. I mean, even, you know, he looks like he's got some skills, right? I mean, you know, and you look at every other running back, except Henry. Like, Henry's a
beast.
A beast of epic proportion. That train gets rolling, yeah. Except with Cooper DeGene. Did you see that? Yeah. Oh, my God. Dude,
he hit him like a train.
Picked him up and dumped
him. That was perfect form tackle. You can show every, like you said, high school kid, this is how you tackle.
Talk about a guy you want to see his high school highlights. Watch DeGene playing basketball.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like tomahawk slam.
He was slam dunking?
Yeah.
Okay. And he was slam dunking, and he won the statewide 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
It's incredible, absolutely incredible. And what's also interesting, all these Georgia guys who came in highly heralded, but they didn't deliver right away. Like Nolan Smith, right? And of course, Jordan.
Davis,
right. So, but it's almost like they're in college, and now they're getting this junior, senior, like they're coming around.
Yeah.
And
well, that's that transition. You know, even in coming out of Georgia, you know, the speed is day and night difference. When you hit the NFL, you just have to, you know, they're getting there. And you look like Barkley. It looks like he's in his prime. He's just firing on all cylinders.
When he made that backwards leap,
yeah.
I said to my wife, we're sitting there, we always watch the game, and I said to my wife, and it was just quickly, they didn't even play the replay yet. And I went, that's the greatest move I've ever seen in my entire life. And I mean, in my existence, like he turned around, he backed over that guy, jumped over like the guy was like.
He landed and then kept going.
And kept going. another 4 yards, okay? I mean, it's so beautiful. Now, if we could get Jalen Hurts to start off a little, like in other words, he.
Yeah, but can I tell you something?
Please.
I was at the game, and this was totally by design by the Eagles. So the people keep giving them a hard time.
About the beginning.
It's almost the exact opposite of what's going on in Detroit. Detroit is incredible the first two series. And then they're holding on for dear life by the time the game is over. And if it wasn't for one of the worst coaching moves ever, would have lost the game against the Bears. In the first three series, they had 8 men in, 3 men out in the pattern each time. They were not trying to trick them. They were trying to wear them down. Now, of course, you still want to get those series and score on those series, but they're not trying to use trick plays in the beginning to come out and get past them.
It's almost like, I was saying it to my wife this morning, I said, it's almost like they're coming out, okay, because what's weird about this game, and Alexis calls me cursing every game. It's a terrible. I mean, I was an iron worker for 18 years. I'm like, calm down. It's a bad call, okay? Yeah. But it's almost like they're, you know, it's almost like they're setting the option up. Like, in other words, they're not giving anything away. They're letting them see it. But what's weird about it is how many games have we fallen behind? One, you know, two scores, okay, whether it's a few. And we're one score away. If that defense, we're down 3, and then it's hard, and it's almost like the same script. but it's almost like we're showing them, and then bam, like, you know, we're like even who was the announcer, Tony Romo, he said, yeah, no, it didn't go well, but we showed them the broadcast. Rome, we got stuffed, okay. Barkley got stuffed at the line. It was a run RPO. But Romo goes like this, don't worry. He didn't exactly say this, but he was like, listen, he's just showing him that.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, there goes Hurts.
Yeah, they're stacking plays. You could see it. When they were on the 10-yard line and Hurts did the draw to the half-yard line.
Yeah.
I said to, the guy that brought me to the game, early in the game, I said, watch what's going on. They're doubling Brown. So they went to Brown like four straight times. Then they moved the safety over. I said, look what just happened. They moved the safety over. I said, here comes a quarterback draw.
Yeah.
He's like, you saw exactly what they set it up the whole time.
Now, you went to the game with your son's father-in-law, right?
My son-in-law's father.
Oh, your son-in-law. Okay.
My son-in-law's father, yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
So are they still together now after that whooping?
You know what was amazing, though, about the game? The Baltimore issues. Fans were really amazing. I don't think they gave... the Eagles fans I was more worried about than the Baltimore fans.
Well, it is.
But even the Eagles fans were good. It was a very, very cordial game to each other, I think.
It's listen, you know, that's a scary organization over there. Like that, you know, I mean, you know, they Jackson is from, you know, that guy is from another planet.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's certainly it was great to watch us. It's great. Vic Fangio, I mean, mother of God, you know, like you can go either way there. Like a lot of people were like real nervous about him, but you know, certainly it's been fun to watch. I remember going to, by the way, with Sam Pond at the last year's game against the 49ers.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the end, right? Like you could see, we were 10-1.
Yeah.
You remember that game?
Six straight touchdowns.
I mean, they beat us like there was, it was, and you're like, you know, we were having those I remember sitting in my, getting my hair done. My wife was sitting there. It's her best friend, and her best friend's going like, yes, like she's an Eagles. She calls us during the game and all.
At your hair salon?
Yeah. No, not. Yeah. She starts yelling. She's going, they're 10-1. Don't give me. And I'm like, yes, listen. Her name's Judy. Shout out to Judy. But I'm going, listen, they're either the greatest team to ever play that doesn't have to start playing until the fourth quarter,
yeah,
or we got problems. And then
that's Kansas City this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
My dad's a Chiefs fan. It's the worst, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, my dad, my mom, and my middle brother, and then me and my oldest brother are Eagles fans. So it's like the Kelsey family.
How did that come about that they are Kansas City fans?
Honestly,
bandwagon?
Yeah. It's so my dad.
It's like Dallas fans when we were growing up.
Yeah, so my dad was a Joe Montana fan, and then he went to Kansas City for 1 year, and he stuck with Kansas City since then.
Well, that's
he was a 49ers fan, and then when he moved to the Chiefs, he stayed, and then.
I mean, I was a Joe Montana fan.
Yeah,
but
I think
they played the Eagles.
Yeah,
for the Eagles.
Exactly. We're from Philadelphia. What are we doing here?
Well, it's always an interesting dynamic. I'm not going to get into this, but my son just...
They're the luckiest team in the NFL. Game was so frustrating.
Who's that? Kansas City?
Yeah, against the Raiders. It was horrible.
Well, we're playing Carolina this week, right? And that's... Listen, obviously you take nobody... the thing about the NFL, by the way, being injury attorneys, and we're going to get into all that soon, the scary thing about when you get to the Super Bowl and don't win it is no matter how good you are, okay, injuries happen. Yeah. And you never know. So look at the 49ers this year, okay? Everybody and their mother's getting hurt. I mean, it breaks Brandon Graham going down with us. And that guy's in his 15th year having his best year. Like, he's eating everybody alive. And so you never know.
Yeah, you know, McCaffrey was... Did you watch that game last night?
I didn't see the whole game, no.
That would have been a fun game to play in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. Buffalo, they were in their element. It looked like, they were showing the highlights of all the San Fran players just slipping, falling in the snow, and they couldn't get their footing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, you know, like a fish out of water.
It was so good to see them lose.
Yeah. But I think his knee, he injured his knee, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about injuries.
He's probably out.
He might be out.
I mean, there's a great running back, Blankenship.
Yeah. Another, you can thank him for the Eagles getting Barkley. They were trying to recreate what San Francisco had with McCaffrey.
Those last words that the owner said, if Barkley goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, like it is, he said, I'm going to lose some sleep. That guy must be taking Adderall or something like that because.
Yeah. I agree with you. He should be in the running for MVP because he opens up everything in that. Like you said, he opens up the quarterback, he opens up passing.
He passed Jackson yesterday. It's just going to be him or Allen now.
Right.
So you have, once Devontae comes, it opens up the pass. I mean, even like you were saying with AJ, he's open. But that running threat, you'd have to respect it.
Well, now you have
everything else.
And it's amazing because we had Miles Sanders and we had Swift, right? And those are both, Pro Bowl players, right? Swift, Miles Sanders sits behind Barkley. And you ever see that play at Penn State? It's during practice. Okay, they're playing hamburger. So he's got the defenders right there. He's got there's two defensive linemen and one linebacker and him and two offensive linemen. He runs to the right, backs up, runs to the other side and goes, and they're not even close to him.
I mean, well, Frank said it perfectly. So if you remember when Swift was here, the guy's a talented runner, shifty, fast. But he was always hitting the wrong hole.
Yeah.
Barkley hits the right hole every time.
Yep, he's good patience.
The fans kept saying, why don't they run Swift more? And then you would hear rumors, they don't run him more because he's not running in the right spot.
Right, well, it's weird because the guy, who was it? I'm trying to think, like Franco Harris, he would never hit the hole. He would stop and kind of look and go, right? I mean, Barkley has the ability to hit the hole, look around, and take off. It's exactly like watching a high school game where the one kid is better than everybody else, and if he just gets a little daylight, he's going.
Like you said, he just creates that daylight, and people take wrong angles because he's so fast.
He's fast, he's quick, his vision's ridiculous, he knows how to set the blocks up. By the way, at the end of the game, Johan Dotson, he's only had 7 catches all year, but the best catch he made all year was that onside kick.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL's like, I mean, this guy Jackson, I mean, the game's over, man. Like, we're done, we're celebrating, and there he goes, 40 yards.
Yeah. Of course, there was a big-time hold on that play. Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
They did the replay over. They were, like, half the offensive linemen were holding on that play, and they didn't call it.
At the beginning of that game, I mean, we start off, and I'm like, all the penalties, all this thing. But that offensive line, and we have obviously, the offensive line is just incredible. And one of the announcers was saying, well, I think they're better. Not the announcers, but they were, I guess it was post-game. They were talking about the Eagles offensive line being better this year than McKelce last year. But I'll say, obviously, they're in his mold. Like that guy, they love him. He should be. I have a feeling no matter how much money he's making, he'd rather be coaching that team right now.
Rather be playing.
Exactly. But he's a football guy. But what's interesting is, but the tush push still isn't as good as it was last year.
Nope.
Like with him getting low. And, in other words, in his demands, I mean, I love our offensive line. How can you not? But I miss...
All Kelce. The percentage-wise, we made that. It was all Kelce.
You guys, by the way, being, injury attorneys, I think about, what he went through. Like, I mean, when that's going to hit him.
Oh, yeah. Well, did you see the Prime? Was it on Prime? Or Hulu, the Kelce, that documentary.
Yeah, it was Prime.
That was really good. But you could see him trying to play with his daughters. Yeah. Like infants at the time. He could barely bend over to lift them up. He'd be on the couch with big ice bags on his... He's a mess. He's like 30, like what is he, 35?
2 months after the season. Guys, let's get into a little business here. Frank, if you would, as our host, a little bit about yourself and Pond Lee Hockey.
Absolutely. Frank Saprero. I'm a partner at Pond Lee Hockey, Giordano. We are the largest workers' compensation SSD firm in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We handle all of your legal needs. You can look us up online. My email is online. Phone number is 215-568-7500, and I'm available 24/7.
Brandon Swartz, if you will, sir.
Yes, our firm is also trial attorneys. It's called Swartz Culleton, and our number is 1-800-JUSTICE.
And if you will, Alexis Crandall from Weinerman Pain and Wellness, our sponsor.
Yeah, I'm the director of marketing for Weinerman Pain and Wellness. We do physical therapy, chiropractic care. We also have pain management, and then we just brought on a psychologist as well. A. Crandall at Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Fantastic.
.com.
So let's a question, you know, and I can't believe I've never asked this question before. Okay. We talk about clients, okay, and it's certainly, and we're talking about the heart of Philadelphia and all those things. Frank, if you would, talk about what an insurance company can expect when you or one of your partners or associates at Pond Lahaki represent a client in the face of, you know, the insurance company and a defense.
Sure. Number one, they can expect workers' compensation certified specialist. We have more certified specialists. You have to sit for an examination on that and become a certified workers' compensation specialist. We have more attorneys than any other firm in the Commonwealth that are certified workers' compensation specialists. What that means is we understand the law. We understand current case law. We understand everything we need to know to go into court and take that case the distance and go to the mat. And the insurance companies, we immediately level the playing field for an injured worker. When otherwise an injured worker, you know, if you have an attorney who doesn't handle workers' comp, we always say it's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. You have to be an expert. You have to go in there because the insurance company sure as hell has a lot of attorneys that understand the law. So we level the playing field. We have the resources to get our clients to the correct doctors. Insurance companies will lie to clients and tell them that they have to treat with their doctors for the first 90 days unless your union has some collective bargaining act or you have something that requires you to treat with the panel doctors for the first 90 days or your heart and lung, a city employee. You can treat with whomever you want. So we immediately control the medical. If you control the medical, you control the case. We get our injured workers and our clients to the correct doctors, and we also partner with firms like Brandon's firm. We make sure that, you know, we have a partnership we have for many, many years with Schwartz Culleton. And if we have an injured worker who was also, there's a third party case involved, meaning if that injured worker, if some third party is also partly responsible for that injury, let's say a caterpillar or forklift, scaffolding, malfunctions in that
manufacturer. Or a car, T-bone in another.
Correct. If you're, you know, even if you're a pizza delivery driver for Domino's, you get rear-ended. Well, I can file that workers' compensation claim against Domino's and hold them responsible. But if there's a third party responsible, the person who rear-ended you, then I'm going to call Brandon and I'm going to say, listen, I have a third party motor vehicle accident here, and he'll handle that. We'll coordinate with the medical and make sure the claimant, our injured worker, is treating with the correct doctor, and we coordinate with Brandon's office and make sure that we handle it across the board. If the person is in late 40s, around 50, we also look to Social Security disability if they're going to be out for a certain amount of time. Many attorneys don't even know that you can collect Social Security disability and workers' compensation at the same time. So we file for Social Security disability if that's applicable. We sit down with their family, and, you know, very frequently these cases, we'll sit down with the family, find out what their needs are, what their wants are, and what they're experiencing. Very frequently there's a psychological component to cases like this. If you have a devastating injury, someone who's been working 17, 18 years old, all of a sudden they're in their early 50s and their career may be over. You know, that's very, very stressful and difficult to take. So we make sure that our clients get all the medical needs up to and including psychological care.
Brandon, if you would, you know, you being from this, I mean, huge in this region and beyond, what can when a Schwartz Culleton attorney, yourself, your partner Chris, or one of your other attorneys comes into the courtroom, or they know you're representing a client, what can the defense and you know, the insurance company expect when they see a Swartz-Carlton attorney walk in that room.
Yeah, so I'll go through that, but I just want to piggyback a little bit on what Frank was saying about the early stages of a case. So, Joe, I know you have a lot of background dealing with unions and construction workers and stuff like that. And any construction worker will tell you that if you want to have a structure that lands for it stands for a long time, you need to have a great foundation to it.
Right.
And what Frank is talking about early on in these cases, in these workers' compensation cases, some that result in third-party liability, is building the foundation of the case early on. And so the insurance companies have created this thing called a nurse case manager early in the cases, where they actually send a nurse to the exam with the injured worker as if the nurse is trying to help them. And I try to explain to our clients, in your entire life before you were hurt in workers' compensation, did anybody ever suggest to you that when you go to see the doctor, a nurse should come with you to the doctor's appointment, as if that doctor needs her assistance going through the appointment? And the whole point is, this nurse is hired not to get you better care, but this nurse is hired to limit the care that you have and try to force you back to work earlier than what you need. And you need somebody to be able to hold off that nurse. And we talked about earlier that Barkley had a 70-yard touchdown run with not being touched, a 72-yard touchdown run without being touched, and that's because of the offensive line. In a firm like Pond-Lahocky, they have the best offensive lineman in the league to keep the insurance company off of you while you need to be able to do what you do to get your treatment so you can get back in the game. And so what happens is, aside from the fact that somebody's hurt and they need the treatment, many times there are other entities other than the employer that can be blamed for an accident. Certainly in a construction-type setting, many times our number one clients for third-party claims that also have workers' comp are either like certified nurses' aides or a truck driver. Because we have a certified nurse's aide, they're like a private company going through a hospital, and the hospital will have a defect, a cord that is left out, the water that's on the floor. The nurse will fall and get hurt because they're concentrating on their patient. They're not able to notice every single thing that's out there. We actually, in a case like that, hire somebody called an industrial hygienist who's responsible for knowing what's an unsafe condition in a hospital. And what causes the hospital worker to get injured. And then, of course, you know, you have a truck driver who's hurt at work and sustains an injury and needs somebody like Frank or Sam Pond or Jerry Lahocky to represent them. And then we blame the driver that caused the accident there. So there's many, many different components to an injury. There's many different parts that need to be explored, such as short-term disability, long-term disability, Social Security disability, all of which Pond-Lahocky handles for those different aspects. And there's different nuances, and you need a certain level of sophistication to be able to get every penny that you're entitled to in the case.
Well, we've talked about the dabblers, okay? There was an attorney sitting where you're at right now, Brandon, talking about a young lady who walked in her office who went to a friend of a friend of a friend, right? Now, and the first thing the individual said, am I going to have to pay for the expert again?
Yeah.
Like knowing who the best attorneys are, the best firms, okay? So that you're in their hand and you have their best representation. A lot about what you're saying right now is having somebody's back covered. When you do bring referral partners in, okay, how important is that referral partner? In other words,
let me tell you how important that referral partner is. So, you know, there's this expression, unfortunately for us, but it's still a good expression. I think the guy that popularized it was the Cowboys running back when he would say, let me eat.
Oh, yeah, let me eat. Well, by the way, we'd love to see him eating more right now. It's got a 1.7.
So when an attorney like Pond-Lahocky refers a case to us, we want them to let us eat, let us do our thing. So if you have somebody that's a dabbler,
yeah,
a dabbler, and that's the perfect word for it, yeah, refers us a case, It's 3 months into the case, and they're asking us, well, what's going on with the case? Because they're worried about what their referral fee is.
Right, right.
And
right.
When are we going to settle the case?
Wow.
When we have a case with Pan Lahaki, they're asking us, did you get a trial date yet? Because they're not worried about whether we're going to settle the case. They want to know, are you ready to try the case? Are you going to get the maximum value of the case? And if they don't reach the maximum value, are you going to go through and actually try the case? And what you're talking about with, well, am I going to have to pay the expert? You need somebody that has a war chest when you go to war.
The resources.
Yeah. And if you, and it's a very, very well-known phrase that if you want to have peace, you have to prepare for war. And you cannot be prepared for war without a war chest. Every war that has ever been won was won with a large war chest.
Let me say this. I want to say this to Alexis. I'm gonna ask you, because I already know the answer to this, but I want you to hear something interesting. Let's talk a little bit about intake. Now, I've learned a lot from these two gentlemen, but one of the great quotes of all time is, when I'm talking to Brandon is, how soon, okay, should, you know, when you talk about your intake, when you get a call, when should somebody get a call back? Within how long?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. Wow. Okay. And to me, and I'm sure to any, you know, anybody with any business acumen and, you know, why would you put together, I mean, an entire existence of a firm at the level and the magnitude that both of these firms are on, and then not have that? To me, it reminds me of water, you know, a leak in the bucket, right? How important is the intake process, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean,
and Frank,
it's extremely important. We spend a lot of money and resources training our intake department to do exactly what Brandon was saying. When they call in, they have a certain understanding of the law, and they know which attorney to get this case to or who to talk to. And we have the attorneys who can, like I said, when I said I'm available 24/7, that's the truth. I or another attorney will immediately, our intake team will speak with that person, and they'll immediately schedule an appointment same day with that injured worker. And the reason for that is that like you said, we train our intake staff, and we have a tremendous number of intake staff who are knowledgeable and understand how to talk to this client, what they need, what their needs are, and where to.
So it's automatic 24/7.
Correct.
With both firms. Let me bring up Alexis and Frank. You talked about the medical, okay, and being such an important part. I've heard Brandon talk about, you know, no medical, no case. Okay, in other words, if you're not, talk about what Weinerman does in regards to the resources and you know, the availability to clients.
Yeah, so I'm the main contact for the practice. So I give my cell phone out to everybody. You can call me 24/7, pretty much. Our practice is not open on the weekends, but I'm constantly, you know, taking calls, making sure things are. Because people get hurt on the weekends, so I'm always available.
And you just handle personal injury and workers' compensation.
Yeah, so we specialize in that. That's all we specialize in. So we don't take. Let's just say Frank or Brandon gets hurt, and they're not represented by a lawyer. You can't just come in with insurance. We specialize in cases that are represented by lawyers.
And you talk about the facility and Dr. Weinerman, if you would.
Yeah, so we have 14,000 square feet. We're on the 11th floor of the Suburban Station building in Center City. Dr. Weinerman has been in practice for over 40 years. He loves what he does. I mean, he's 72. Yeah, 72, and he's still practicing 4 days a week.
And he's spending an hour and a half with his clients, right? I mean, especially when they come in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the first initial appointment, he's in there for at least an hour and a half. It's important.
And what about transportation for clients that don't live in the area?
Yeah, so we offer Uber, SEPTA passes, and then we also validate parking as well.
So we talk about medical. This may sound obvious to us, but I'm sure that both firms, you're dealing with individuals that are badly injured but even chronically at some point, you know, going through it emotionally or whatever, and they decide, I'm not, I'm not up to going to my, especially over the Christmas holidays, or maybe, you know, the month of February, whatever. They're emotionally drained. They're not, they don't want to go to their, even though they're still badly injured, they just don't have it in them to go to their treatment. How does that impact them, and how important is that medical treatment to the success of their case?
Well, it's invaluable to the case. And basically what we explain to the clients is, if you have a true injury where you're honestly and accurately reporting your symptoms, you add value to your case every time you make an appointment, and you reduce the value of your case every time you miss an appointment. And you mentioned something earlier about Jason Kelce, and like, what's he going to look like when he's 50 years old, 60 years old? That's a really, really important component of the case. It's something that Frank and Sam and Jerry and Tom, all of them at Ponlahake, know about their clients. And it's something that we know about our clients, that this injury doesn't end when the case is over. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just magically go away. And it's our job to be able to not just say, oh, I wonder what Jason Kelce is going to be like when he's 50 years old, when he's 60 years old.
You're calculating.
We're going to show the jury exactly what the person's going to be like because of this injury. We prepare something called, in a big third-party case, something called a life care plan. And the life care plan shows, what's the person's injury going to regress to by the time they're 55? How's it going to further regress when they're 65? How's it going to further regress when they're 75? How's this person going to take care of them when we know for sure they're going to be limping around because they had three major surgeries, and over time the body just gives out and you got to get it again?
When you're talking about that and you talk about settlements, okay, and or verdicts, okay, that's what you're fighting for, the quality of the rest of their life and their dignity. Okay, and it's amazing. That must be, in a lot of ways, especially if somebody's injured, okay, and they're badly injured, you know, they're taking it one day at a time, but somebody's got to be looking out for their future. All those things are, you're calculating in on their behalf, even if they can't.
Yeah, I often tell the jury, so it's my job to get to the jury to really, really feel like they need to take care of the person who is injured. So I often tell the jury, this person needs to know when let's say the person's 50 years old at the time of our trial. I often tell the jury, this person needs to know when he's 60 years old, when he's 70 years old, that you were still with him, that you have to give him a verdict that says, you know what, we're going to help you today, we're going to help you then. And you need to give them a verdict so they know you were always with them. You were the one that was on the jury that was given the honor to be able to help this person get back to where they were. And you need to give them a reward that shows them, I am with you and I'm always going to be with you.
Frank, you talk about that same approach in regards to, you know, when it happens on the job and looking out for somebody, you know, for the long haul.
Absolutely. Workers' compensation has, you're entitled to two things. It's what they call the exclusive remedy in workers' compensation law. And that's wage loss benefits while you're disabled as a result of working, and payment of medical treatment for the work injury unless and until you fully recover. Brandon mentioned people don't fully recover from these injuries. So what you have to do is you have to calculate future wage loss and future medical, and that has to be calculated into whatever settlement we make for our clients. So we make sure that, as Brandon mentioned, that they're protected in the future for future wage loss, for future medical, and that's all covered as part of the settlement. And it's extremely important that we coordinate with a doctor like Dr. Weinerman, like Alexis mentioned, because as Brandon mentioned, the insurance company will send you to one of their doctors, send a nurse case manager in to talk to that doctor before you even go into the appointment. That nurse case manager will be alone with that doctor and tell them exactly what they want the doctor to say. They don't want any diagnostic tests because they don't want to be responsible for any disc herniations or any radiculopathy, anything. They don't want to be responsible for anything beyond a sprain and a strain. So they're going to go in and tell that doctor, listen, we acknowledge the sprain and strain. We want this opinion within 90 days. We want a recovery. And we want you to say that anything else that's ongoing is just age-related degenerative changes. And that doctor will do it because they get business from the insurance company, and all of a sudden, if they start taking people out of work and sending them for MRIs, they're not going to be getting any more business. So there's a huge conflict of interest there. And I believe you know, not sending clients or injured workers for those diagnostic studies that they need, I think that violates the number one rule of medicine and do no harm, because they're doing harm by failing to act on that patient's behalf.
I remember early in my career, and we used to have a large workers' compensation practice over the years, but we got together with Pond Lahaki many, many years ago, and we decided it would be mutually beneficial to both firms, to us, to sort of cede the workers' compensation part of the case to Pond Lahaki, and we'll handle the third party part of the case. But I remember many, many years ago, I asked a workers' compensation doctor, I said, well, what was your goal in your treatment when the person first showed up at your office? And he said, my goal was to get the person back to work. And I said, really? I said, where was that in the Hippocratic Oath that you took, that it talked about getting the patient back to work? I said, that's not the goal of a doctor. The goal of a doctor is to get the patient better. If it so happens that that coincides with getting the person back to work, that's beautiful. But that is not your goal. It's become your goal because you're financially tied to the insurance company. They'll refer you more cases if you get people back to work sooner.
I wish I was there when that conversation happened. But it is an amazing, that's an amazing response. My goal was to get them back to work. Okay, there are so many things left out of that. I often wonder in those cases if there's a med mal, at least on occasion, where somebody's, you know, not doing diagnostics. You know, it's you know, I mean, it's just where something like that may happen. Is there some cases that end up that
way?
Yeah,
so it's not really, so it's a very, med mal is a very nuanced area of practice. So there's two components to a medical malpractice case. The first component is that the doctor was negligent, for sure. And that's what you're describing, that right. The person has an injury, they require certain treatment, and the doctor doesn't do the treatment. But the second component is that the negligence caused the injury. So when they don't send somebody for a test for a herniated disc, they didn't cause the herniated disc. It's bad care, but it's not necessarily malpractice. Now, you have certain circumstances where maybe somebody, if they got a test, would have gotten surgery, and then the condition could have been not as bad if it becomes very, very severe. Then you could sort of get medical malpractice in there. But that's why it's so key to have a lawyer with you early on that's guiding you through the process, that knows all of the best doctors. We have relationships with the head of surgery at Penn, the top neurosurgeons in the state, the top orthopedic surgeons in the state. You only want to be with the best doctors. You don't want some gatekeeper doctor at some company that focuses on workers' compensation lawyers that is entirely focused on how am I going to get this person back to work with the least expense to the insurance company.
Yeah, the priority skewed.
Now, of course, in our society, we need to be concerned about cost, et cetera. The insurance company is very sophisticated. Trust me when I tell you, they will do what they can to keep the cost down. You need somebody who's worried about you. Let everybody else take care of themselves. You need somebody that's worried about you.
I'm going to bring Alexis in and talk about, I'm sure that, you know, you'll there after an individual is fortunate enough to walk into an attorney like the two at the table here and their firms after they've been beat up, okay, and they are probably gun shy now, okay? I can't remember if I've ever, and I've heard the nightmares about these occupational doctors that work for the insurance company, but their confidence must be shot as far as the client goes because they're used to their family doctor. But let's just talk about when that situation. How do you rehabilitate somebody's confidence in the medical profession? I'll say after they've been beat up at a panel doctor, now they get the opportunity after meeting Frank or Brandon to come in to see Dr. Weinemann.
Well, I think they're encouraged. They know that they're being sent by their lawyer, so they know that it's a good relationship. And you know, we have a welcoming staff. We have the two girls at the front, and we have our intake team. We have our doctors who are super upbeat, and let them know that we're on their side. We want them to get better. But we definitely, I mean, I usually talk to the patient on hand when it's sent over, and they're always, I think the number one question I get is, like, is the doctor going to ask me certain questions? Is the doctor going to, like, interrogate me? Because they've most likely been interrogated before by another doctor that's not on their side.
Well, so and that, I've heard union leaders actually say to me when we're doing our union program that, and it's relieving when you hear this, that they've gone through it when they were in the field. Guy looks at him across the table and says, "You're going back to work. I'm not holding you out." He said, "But the guy wants to go back to work. He makes a good wage, but he can't lift his shoulder up." And he's an iron worker. It was an asbestos worker, the guy who was the union leader. I went to high school with him, Steve Pettit. He was the head of the insulators union, Local 14. And he said to me, I walked in and the guy looked at me I didn't even have a conversation with him yet. Guys, let me ask a quick question, and this really particularly to Brandon. How important is it? Okay, you know the Philadelphia region. I know Frank, obviously, and Alexis, but, you know, you talk about juries and understanding, you know, Philadelphia, okay, representing a client from the Philadelphia area, knowing a Philadelphia jury. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I've said many, many times that Philadelphia is the biggest small town in the country. We are a small town. You have to know everything about us. It just so happens we're a big, small town. And our juries want to know, basically our juries want to have somebody that thinks ACME has three syllables, like I do. They want people like me who add an R to the middle of water.
Yeah, water, yep.
And it actually makes a difference to them. I don't know if I ever told you this, Joe. I probably did at some point. I saw a stat one time. I haven't seen it in a few years, so I don't know if it's still true. But this stat was stunning to me. Philadelphia is the most colloquial city in the world. They define colloquial as you're born there and you die there. We have the highest percentage of any city in the world of people born there and then die there. You're either a Philadelphian or you're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it is. And frankly, you know, you guys are in the heart of Center City as well. The importance, I know you guys don't go in front of a jury, but knowing the clients and knowing the culture, I mean, really, both firms here, okay, are Philadelphia, okay, you know, you know, literally speaking, you guys represent Philadelphia, the culture of Philadelphia. I mean, talk about that, Frank, and being able to relate to the client when they come in.
Absolutely. I mean, even something as little as talking about the Eagles game or talking about the Eagles team,
and,
you know, itself, because Philadelphia lives and dies with the Eagles. I mean, that's true. Philly's too, but Eagles is the number one, always has been. But like Brandon was saying, you know, we have strong ties in Center City, Philadelphia, South Philadelphia. We have strong ties in Northeast. We have an office in Northeast. We are across the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We even, we have a Pittsburgh office. And our Pittsburgh office, that's local Pittsburgh. Same thing as Philadelphia.
You're in Pittsburgh, but you only treat Eagles fans that are in Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
No, just kidding.
So, but I mean, that's the thing. You have to have an attorney who's from there and knows the town. And that's what Brandon does and is. Dr. Weinerman, same thing, been in practice for 40 years. He knows Philadelphia and he knows the patients. Mm-hmm. We know Philadelphia and we know our clients and we're able to sit down and talk with them. We know what people in this town love and want. And, you know, that's an important thing.
The culture, you know, you're right in the middle of Center City, Alexis. I mean, you know, having that kind of bond and understanding where people are coming from.
Exactly.
Gotta be important.
I think it's good to let the patients know, the clients know that we can relate to them, just like both of them are saying. Like, I try and, like, back to you with the sports, I try and I do, like, a raffle basket every month for the patients. And they, if they want to participate, they can highlight their name. And I'll do, like, sports baskets because I think that helps them to want to come as well. Because each time they come, they can highlight their name. So if they're coming two times a week like they're supposed to, they have eight 8 to 9.
But and it's a part of Luke.
Joe, you'll love this.
They love it.
Frank will love this story too. Frank's firm and myself, we co-represented a guy named Anthony Belzer. Anthony will love this if he hears this. So I'm not calling anything out of line here.
Shout out to Anthony.
So Anthony was hurt at work. He was a subcontractor at an Amazon. And this was his second day back to work after coming back from a knee surgery. And he hurt his knee again and had to get another surgery.
Wow.
So the defense was, and the insinuation was, his knee was always hurt. There was no new event, and that he's just trying to blame us for a problem that he already had. So when the Amazon lawyers came up to me after our trial was over, which we were won, and they were stunned. They never offered us any money. They thought it was an effective defense. In the closing argument, it was exactly what you're saying. I told the jury, this was at the time that Carson Wentz had his knee surgery, and this was the season after the Super Bowl. And I said, think of Carson Wentz. I said, he went through all of last year. He had the knee surgery. He worked his way all the way back. Imagine doing all of that work and his first day back, because of somebody else's negligence, he goes down, he hurts his knee again, and then has to have surgery, and then has to have them tell him that he didn't work hard enough to get back. He's just trying to blame them for an old problem. The jury got it perfectly. The guy had surgery. He worked his way back. They had an unsafe condition. He went down again. It doesn't make it worth less. It makes it worth more. It was worth more that he had to go through it again.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
I mean, and another, that kind of goes along with what we always explain to patient or clients and patients with doctors, is that an aggravation of any pre-existing condition is a new injury under workers' compensation law. So, for instance, I've had 4 knee operations. If I go work on a construction site today and 10 guys jump off scaffolding ahead of me, they're all fine, and I jump off and I blow out my knee, they can't deny the claim and say, why are we responsible? You have bad knees, because you hired me with bad knees. So how you take the person how they come. So whatever comorbidities anyone has, or whatever pre-existing conditions they have, if they make it worse on the job, that's a new injury. And I always tell clients to remember that.
When one of the things I think is amazing about the process and what you're accomplishing when you represent somebody is you're looking out for the rest of their life. Okay, that's and getting a settlement that is going to let them live in dignity, because they may not be able to. Okay, but also, and this is the big deal for me, change happens in the courtroom. How gratifying is it, okay, when you represent somebody, and you guys have represented some of the most high-profile cases, whether they're high-profile or not, knowing that you're not only fighting for that person, okay, and their family, but also so it doesn't happen to somebody else. Talk about that, Brandon.
Yeah, so when my kids were little, I had 4 kids growing up. Now I have 2 grandkids.
Oh. Congratulations.
So when my kids were little, they used to ask me, what do you do for a living? You know how hard it is to explain to a little kid what a lawyer does for a living? That's a complicated thing. So I've done many seminars over the years where I tell this story of my kids asking it. And you know what I would tell them? I talk for people. That's what I do. I talk for people for a living. I tell their story. So it's incredibly gratifying when somebody comes to you, puts their total trust in you. You're the one talking for them. You're the one telling the story. And the jury listens. And they listen and they respond. It's an incredible responsibility. And it's not just Frank's firm and us. Even the dabblers, they take it seriously when you're talking for somebody else. But you don't want somebody who's just taking it seriously because it's important to them. You want somebody who's actually proven their good at it.
What's interesting, you say, I did a show one time, okay, and the my client had their son in the room, okay, and their son was about 15, 16, and immediately we kind of engaged the guy, right, the young kid, right? But we talked about what his dad did for people who cannot represent themselves, Okay. At, by the way, no out-of-pocket costs. That there, explain that one to somebody, even going to law school. Okay. Alexis loves it, the contingency fee agreement. But that is the great equalizer, individuals. So I'll jump on top of that and say, you know, you both and your firms represent those who can't represent themselves in the face of a very, very, you know, scary opposition. We only have 2 minutes left. Alexis, contact information for Weinemann Pain and Wellness.
Yes, you can contact me directly, 484-356-6666.
And Brandon, if you will?
Yeah, it's 1-800-JUSTICE.
And that's Swartz Culleton?
SwartzCulleton.com. SWARTZ. CULLET as in Tom, ON as in Nancy.com.
And that phone number again? You know I love that phone number.
1-800-JUSTICE.
I love it.
1-800
commercial.
I'll give you, hold on, I'll give you $50 for that. Frank, if you will, sir.
PondLeeHockey.com. My email is right on there. I'm Frank Saprero, 215-568-7500.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Lawyers of Pond, the hockey show here on WWDB Talk 860. I want to thank Frank Saprero, our host. I want to thank Alexis Weinemann from Weinemann Pain and Wellness. And, of course, Brandon Swartz of Swartz Culleton for being who he is and what he does every day. For our producer and everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.